Welcome to Raising Playful Tots. Raising Playful Tots is a weekly podcast about mums making the most of early years playtime. I'm your host, Melissa. Welcome to the Play Space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids of ours. You have children under 5 years old? This is the podcast for you. Introduce a new play idea. Welcome to another episode of Raising Playful Tots. Thanks for stopping by today. If you're new to the show, welcome. And hi, I'm waving to the regular playmates. Plenty of room in the corner here as we make cinnamon and applesauce ornaments for the tree. Last week's show, I shared a review and interview with Marie LeBaron of Make and Takes about her new craft book, which makes a perfect gift for this time of year. So if you missed that one, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that show and find the archive of all the shows at www.raisingplayfultots.com/shows. The winner of the book is Rupa with the answer, "We run out the most of glue. My daughter loves to make crafts with glue and more glue." Rupa, look out for an email from me so I can send Make and Takes for Kids to you. This week's show has an international flavour. We look at mums around the world and how they're raising their tots with Baby Chino Kids. So I hope you'll stick around. If you enjoyed the show, leave feedback about the show on iTunes. I'd love to see two more reviews up there before the end of the year. Links we talk about in the show are there also in the show notes. So if you don't have a pen while you're driving or running or waiting in line or washing up, or shopping or whatever else that you do when you're listening, then don't worry, you can just pop on over by listening to the number of the show and adding that to the URL to go straight to the current show notes. So that will be www.raisingplayfultots.com/79. Listen out after the interview for more. I'll be right back after this short break.
See what I mean?
You're right. I'm really not the worst trumpet player in the world. Thanks, Dad.
Just keep practicing, son. You'll get it.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Today I'm talking to Esther, Courtney and Emily from Baby Chino Kids, an international lifestyle website for modern mums. The Baby Chino girls represent a growing number of families who are raising their families overseas for a time. Moving and living overseas is exciting, surprising, frustrating and fun, sometimes all on the same day. It brings its own challenges and rewards and it changes lives forever. Life overseas is different, and today they'll share some of their experiences of raising playful tots. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's fun
Thank
to be
you.
Here.
So where are you living and where have you lived? Because you don't all live in the same place.
No, we all met in London about 6 years ago, right after the birth of our first babies. And Esther moved back to Amsterdam and Emily moved to Paris and I'm still in London. So we're sort of scattered across Europe.
Wow. And you have 8 children between you with I think it's a 3-3-2 split. Have you got boys and girls?
Yeah, I have 2 boys and a girl and Esther has 2 girls and a boy and Emily has 2 girls.
Oh, nice. So you've got a real big mix there.
Yeah, sort of busy families.
Yes. Yeah, I have 3 boys too, so I understand that the 3 thing. Which place do you prefer to live, in the city or the countryside?
I think we all really love living in the city and at least for the time being are quite happy there. It's sort of nice to have your friends around the corner, to have the school down the street, to have sort of cultural opportunities and lots of stuff to do and sort of that city buzz about us. But having said that, we all really do love sort of the country life, and every summer we go away, spend time in our homes in the countryside, and really love that life as well. We all kind of dream of that country life, baking apple pies, letting the children run around outside type of thing. But at the moment, we're all quite happy living in a city.
Brilliant. We're part of a military family, and so we've moved ourselves from the UK, and then we were in Italy for about 6 years. And then we went to America for about 3 years. We lived in a few different places, and we've done a big circle. So now we're back in the UK. And so I can't help but notice how differently we do things as parents in different countries. And I don't mean differently in a bad way. It's just different. You know, we as parents, you'd think it's so universal, and some of the fundamentals are, but there's actually kind of country and culturally specific things that we do, and we don't really realize we do them until we're in a different country and we realize, oh, they don't do it like that, or actually they do it in a really fun and interesting way. And so I was curious about some things that we all do with children and how different they are. You've experienced them in different countries. So the first one I was thinking of is celebrating birthdays.
Okay. Well, it's sort of interesting. We were having this discussion earlier, and I mean, I grew up in America and come, you know, from there, and it's funny the different ways that we do birthday parties in the UK.
Yeah, I think what we were saying is funny that, and we all actually, because I think mostly because we're international, maybe do it even differently than it might be in the country that we live in. Because we all have the parties at our house, we normally bake our own cakes, we have games, and actually the three of us do things like birthday parties in exactly the same way.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have parties in our home, and we bake a cake, and the kids play old-fashioned types of games, and the three of us tend to keep birthday parties quite simple, where I know that a lot of times, at least in the UK, parties can get quite extravagant and pretty full on. And that sort of isn't our style anyway. So we sort of have always done it.
Well, in France, it's still kept very simply. I mean, most people just take the kids to a park, bring along a pack of sweets, and the kids run around.
Right. Yeah. But I do notice that in Amsterdam, lots of parents book, you know, like a craft project in a museum, or they bring, you know, a group of children to the swimming pool, or even to some sort of, you know, indoor playground. So they take trips with the children. So yeah, that's a thing that happens in Amsterdam a lot too. But again, the three of us, we always celebrate the birthday parties in our own home, in our own house.
I like that. I like doing it in my own home too. I think that it just feels somewhat special, and it's how I remember doing it, and it just keeps it all simple. I get scared sometimes when I see some of the pictures online at these amazing party favors and things that people do, and I think, well, great for them, but wow, that's a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah, it's not our style.
Yes.
You know, that type of party, but obviously we
Well, the kids
love them.
Yes. Well, that's great. Let's talk about play dates, because play dates really vary, I think, from country to country. When we were living in Italy, it just seemed that you could just kind of push the kids out the door and they played everywhere on the street, and nobody cared as much, and it seemed safe and fine and all right. And then we moved from there straight to America, and we tried to do the same, and, you know, neighbors are knocking on our doors like, your kids are out by themselves. And,
no.
You know, did you know, like, they'd got out? And we had to really realize that different places do different things. And so how have you found play dates and organizing them where you've lived?
Living in the UK, I think play dates are often, you know, there's a real organization to them. I mean, I, you know, you often talk to a parent and plan 2 weeks in advance for a Wednesday afternoon, and, you know, you really book it in your diary. I'll do the pickup at school and I take the child home, and the mom comes and picks him or her up from the house later in the evening. So it's really a structured thing.
Mm.
But I suppose if we lived on a street, a quieter street like Esther, where the kids can go out and play.
Yeah, in fact, I must say that in Amsterdam, it's very not planned at all. You just pick up the kids from school and the kids come running to you with a friend and they ask, can I play with, you know, whatever the name of that friend is? And it's either yes or no. So then either the friend's mom takes the children or I do. So it's a very sort of like unstructured thing in Amsterdam. But I don't know how it is in Paris.
In Paris, actually, it's quite different because the majority of parents work.
Right.
So you don't really have play dates in the same way as, I guess, in Amsterdam and London. Because, I mean, kids go to school till about 4:30, sometimes have an after-school club. So they stay at school anyway till 6. And most mothers work. So there is not that much of a tradition of play dates. It mostly happens on Saturday mornings or Wednesdays when there's no school. And then it does have to be organized because there's not this natural flow from being picked up from school or something like that.
Ah, right. Yeah, that's really interesting. I didn't realize that in France that you went to school for so long.
Yeah, I mean, my five-year-old starts at 8:30 in the morning until 4:30 every day. And then if she has an after-school activity, she gets picked up at 6.
Right. So what's the best thing about raising a family in Europe?
I think we all agree completely on this answer. It's the best thing for us is just the access to Europe, the access to the different countries and the different cultural ways of living, eating, being, playing, and being able to visit those countries and give your children that sort of experience of seeing other cultures. And I mean, for example, I had my kids, we went to Amsterdam to visit Esther and her family, and we were cycling around on bicycles and the kids were in their little buckwheat basket and were doing what the Dutch do. You know, living in Amsterdam, and we often go to Paris and visit Emily's family or, you know, friends in other countries. And just that experience of, you know, it's eye opening for children and for adults as well. But it's something I think we all really value.
I like the way that you can move quite quickly, especially when you're in continental Europe, as I call it. Quite quickly between countries.
Yes.
You know, we were in the northeast of Italy, and so Austria was very close, and some of the Slovak countries and Switzerland and Germany, and everything was all within 2 or 3 hours. You could go to all of those different places by driving. And so that was really exciting that we got to experience regionally as well, because it seems that there's really clear differences in different regions of...
Yeah, and we completely agree. I mean, it's pretty incredible how different it is just crossing a border. And Esther, I mean, last summer, and usually every summer, Esther drives from Amsterdam down, I think last summer you drove down to Spain and back then to France and then back up to Amsterdam. And just crossing a border can be so different. And I mean, how incredible for your children to see that all in a span of 3 weeks.
It's also the languages, of course. I mean, you know, you cross a border and they speak a different language.
Yes.
And the language areas are so small.
Yeah, so and they eat a different food. It's a really great...
Interesting cultural variety in Europe.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, based in Paris, I'm by train 2 hours away from London, 2 hours away from Belgium, and 2 hours away from Holland, which is pretty incredible.
Yes, yeah, that is amazing. To be that close to all sorts of different types of people as well. So the range of people that you must come across must be quite large, cosmopolitan, you know, the multicultural. You'll get to be around lots of different types of people with different views and behaviors as well.
Yeah, I mean, even just living in the cities we live in, they're so diverse that because you're so close to all these countries, it's, you know, a real melting pot of those countries and culture. So,
which I think is very important for all of us, for our kids to grow up with that. I think that goes back to the question of, you know, living country versus city. I think for us, it's even just living in big cities where we do have in Europe such a melting pot and such an interesting cosmopolitan life is really amazing.
Yeah.
So let's focus on the kids for a little bit. What's your child's favorite toy, book, or activity that they like to do?
Our kids are all still quite young. Our oldest kids are 6, and then it goes down to Esther's daughter, who's 1. And so they're still, the activities they do are still quite innocent and you know, imaginative and really quite simple. I mean, our kids really love imaginative play, pretend play,
dress up,
dressing up, building forts out of a blanket and a couple chairs, and just really that sort of simple
creative play.
Yeah, I mean, my kids are also really happy playing outside in the garden, and whether they're pushing around a wheelbarrow full of dirt or, you know, sticks, and I mean, it's really. It's
making perfume out of flower yeah. petals.
I mean, yeah, monster stews out of mud and worms. And also, you know, all 3 of us are quite, we really enjoy crafting with our kids. So that's another really fun indoor activity that we, that our kids really love and respond really well to.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit more about daily life? You know, what things do you get up to when your family go out and about?
For me, living in London, we're often in a park outside somewhere. We find ourselves in Hampstead Heath quite often, you know, throwing a frisbee around, flying a kite, going to the farmer's market. I mean, that sort of weekend life in London for us.
I mean, in Paris, on a weekend, we will again start with the market because we have these massive markets where we pick up our food actually for the whole week. So that's normally a start to the day. And we will always stop for a coffee because being little Parisians, my daughters are very used to having a little cup of hot milk in a cafe.
Yes.
Then exactly like Courtney, it's either parks or if it's raining, sometimes the cinema or an activity in a museum because there's a lot of that around and these kind of things.
Right.
Yeah, same here. We also like to really have long mornings where we stay in our pajamas and have breakfast forever and just, you know, hang out in the living room until like midday. And then, yeah, we love to go to a museum in Amsterdam if it's raining, or to the zoo, or take the buckwheat and go for a bike or even a walk in the woods or something like that. Yeah. So sort of easy.
Yes. Yeah. It doesn't seem like you need to have a lot of planned activities, that you can kind of be spontaneous and see how you will feel and kind of go with the flow.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we actually prefer it that way.
Yeah.
My favorite kind of weekend is when I look in the diary and there's nothing written down.
Yeah.
And can just do what you want to do, and there's nowhere to be and there's no urgency. And
that's actually interesting because I think all 3 of us are very spontaneous and we are not very much planned and organized in our diaries. So we love to just call friends in the morning and see what they are doing for the day and see if we can.
But also, I think, because we all have kids who are now invited to birthday parties, a lot of our Saturdays are organized around
birthday parties,
around their our kids' diaries, not around our own diaries.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's true. There's so many birthday parties nowadays. There's nearly 1 a weekend at least.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's true. The more kids you have, the more complicated it gets for doing clubs and extra activities by themselves. You really feel like you're living in the car sometimes.
Yes.
You've all moved quite a lot from your original places where you were, you know, raised, and you've moved to different places. You've got used to adjusting to new countries, new people, making new friends. Are there any things that you do regularly now, because you're professionals now, moving countries, that you know to do when you're going to go somewhere with either the kids or with yourselves?
It's, you know, it's actually easier when you move country with kids to make friends, because they go to schools and you'll meet parents there. And that's it makes it actually easier, to move country with children, because one of the most difficult things is actually to make friends in a different place. And having kids makes that a lot easier, I have experienced.
Yeah. Also, I think if you... as long as you're up for things and you make an effort, it's quite often easy to integrate, sort of settle, you know, without there being huge hurdles. Or,
and I think we're also very lucky because we all come from, because we have all traveled a lot, that whatever new place we turn up in, there's always somebody that somebody knows, or somebody that another friend can put us in contact with. So the big advantage of traveling quite a lot is that you've almost set up a network of people that will help you out.
It's also, I think the more you do it, the easier it is. Mm. I mean, a couple of years ago, we traveled around the world. We went to Australia and New Zealand, and we had quite young children. My youngest one was 7 months old, and people always said, how can you do that? And the flights must have been so long, and the traveling with so many young kids. And it was actually pretty easy. And I think as long as you're kind of up for that adventure, it's not really that difficult. Mm. Also, the more you do it, my kids are really good at traveling now, and
Yeah, you have, you know, we have tricks.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know what works. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you do get to learn what works really well for your family, and being able to adjust to a new country just means exactly that you have to decide the things that you're going to be that's really important to you, and let go of some things that really aren't as important. So we mentioned at the very beginning, you mentioned really briefly about how you all met up in London. Can you tell us a little bit about how, you know, Baby Chino Kids got started, and, you know, how it came to become?
Yeah, I mean, we all met in London right after our first babies were born, and we often met up in cafes, and, you know, the kids were in the buggies and we were having a cappuccino or just sort of chatting. And as you do, I think, especially when it's your first child, you know, you really make an effort to get out with other moms and
share experiences
and have a support network.
Yeah. And have a support network, and also, you know, discuss sort of the latest product you found that made your life so much easier, or something, you know, that type of, you know,
a recipe
you made that was really great and easy, and you were able to do it while your kids took their 20-minute nap or whatever it was. So we often did that. And then when Emily first moved to Paris, and Esther then moved to Amsterdam, and we sort of felt the need to kind of keep that sort of discussion going, those sort of coffee breaks where you share your information, your greatest new find, your recipe, your craft project, and you continue that. And so we started the blog, Baby Chino Kids blog, and it was really just a natural sort of way for us to write down what we were doing, what we were making, what product we found, and sharing it with each other and getting that sort of feedback. It turned out to be quite handy because you can document it. I mean, I would start to turn to Baby Chino if I needed a recipe or some inspiration, or I was bored with the kids and I needed a craft project. What started out as sort of being just a very kind of casual, easy, you know, discussion online turned out, you know, we started sharing it with our friends and they started giving us good feedback, and it sort of turned out, it naturally evolved into being a bigger thing, and the more people who knew about it would tell their friends, and I guess here we are 4 years later.
Yeah, you've done very well to keep going for 4 years. It can be really hard to balance or juggle all the things that you have going with traveling as well added into the mix, because, you know, it's hard enough working a job where you get paid and have to maybe leave the house, you know, manage a family, then manage a blog, but then also move internationally, as some of you have as well during that period as well.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I think every mother can attest to that feeling.
Yes.
To juggle lots of things at the same time. And we all feel that way, you know, juggling work and kids and
husbands
and houses and travel and trying to arrange everything and you know, but that's that every mother knows that feeling.
That's the nature of mothers, right?
Absolutely. You mentioned that you got experiences from friends and that they informed you of how, you know, things to add to your website and feedback. How do you explain blogging to your offline friends? Because I often find when people do really well online that their offline friends don't always know what on earth they do or how it all works, but obviously they have lots of friends that are online. How do you explain blogging to your offline friends, and is it popular where you are?
You know, it's, I think blogging started becoming really popular in America, actually, and the blogging sort of community has only grown, and it's growing more in Europe now. I would say in the last year, there's been a boom of blogging, you know, mummy bloggers in the UK and, you know, across Europe as well. I mean, the blogging world is really fascinating because, first of all, it can, you know, you can spread. If you go on one blog, you go to the next blog and you can click to the next blog, and it's really easy to kind of discover new things. And it's a really inspirational world. You know, I have a handful of cooking blogs that I like to read, and then decor blogs for if you need some inspiration for how to decorate your home, or crafting blogs and, you know, parenting blogs, and it's really an interesting world because there is all this knowledge and it's all out there. And with Baby Chino, we really hope that it's, you know, kind of is all encompassing in all of those areas, and that we offer sort of an inspirational place for parents to come and, you know, gather ideas. And that's really what blogging is all about.
For me, it was Christmas crackers and sticker books for the boys and things that I wish that I could take from England wherever I was living. What about you? When you've lived away from home, what did you really wish that you could take with you?
For me, it's been quite interesting because it's been often things that I never used in the country or would not even have thought about in the country I lived in. And suddenly I would get nostalgic for
exactly
when I then suddenly couldn't have them anymore. So I actually now do have a tendency every time I go to London to pick up sausages, baked beans, bacon, you know, things that I don't think I would ever have had in my house, to have all of those kind of things lying around. Yeah. For little treats.
Yeah. I think Dutch people worldwide have a few things that they have their friends bring over, which of course is drop, licorice, Dutch cheese. And there's also a shop in the Netherlands. It's Hema. And this is what most people in across the world from the Netherlands really miss as well. That's this particular shop where you can buy all sorts of things, a bit like Target.
Okay.
I suppose. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's for the Dutch people.
Yeah.
Courtney always brings Cheerios from the States.
It's funny how it's often a food thing that you miss.
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays you can really get kind of there's access to everything, really. And there, I mean, it's not...
It's silly things like that. I think we were talking early in the weekend, and Esther used to bring over a specific deodorant when she was living in the US.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's these little bizarre things that you never think about, but once you're over there, or I remember somebody else telling me about dental floss.
Yeah, dental floss is really everywhere in America, and in Europe, it's slightly harder to find.
Yes.
Also this baby shampoo. It's very Dutch, and it's a very specific smell that we all in the Netherlands, everybody grew up with it. It's called Zwitsal. And this is also something that when you have a baby abroad, you really miss that.
What about homemade Play-Doh, store-bought Play-Doh, or no Play-Doh? What type of households are you?
Both.
I mean, we definitely do the homemade Play-Doh, but I then often buy it as well.
Yeah. Because who has time to every, sometimes you just want to throw it on the table, so it's store-bought, but sometimes you want to, do a little craft project, and then actually making it is part of the fun. So, both for me, definitely.
Yeah.
Emily?
Oh, sorry. For me, I think I'm more actually a store-bought Play-Doh kind of girl. I mean, I think I've made it a couple of times myself, but as Esther said, it was more of a project. I mean, we have this stuff that I grew up with in Germany called Zeigsteig, which is like Play-Doh, and then you bake it and stuff like that. So I've done that a couple of times, but I actually only very recently found out that you could make your own Play-Doh.
Cool. Well, it's nice to see there's just such variety, and you really do have to find something that works for you right now. You can't just be a slave to one particular thing. You have to be able to, if there's one thing I've learned living overseas, is that you have to be able to adapt.
Yes, that's definitely true.
Can you tell us anything about your favorite toy shops? I know when we were, certainly in Italy, there were lots of smaller shops than these big out-of-town malls, certainly where we were living. And so it was nice you could find little toy shops that became your favorite, that you could just kind of walk around. They weren't the big Toys R Us super duper shops that I've seen in the States or here in the UK. They were a lot more smaller shops. Do you have any favorite toy shops that you want to name?
Well, I think that we'll back up your sentiment about sort of preferring the smaller shops versus the bigger ones. I mean, none of us are the Toys R Us type of shopper. We all prefer the little boutiques and finding something unusual and really beautifully made.
Lots
of wooden toys and educational toys. Yeah. I mean, I think it's sort of difficult to say our favorite toy shop because we represent on Baby Chino Kids quite a lot of really great ones. But I know for me, I often, if I'm going to an actual shop in London, I'll just go to the closest one, the little one up the hill from me.
Same for me also.
Something very convenient.
The thing with toy shops in Amsterdam, the independent ones, they're all kind of really nice because Dutch people are more into that sort of wooden, often German brands or French brands,
With my girls, I do need to negotiate very often about finding a good compromise between what I think is a nice toy and what they think is a nice toy. They do have a tendency of going for plastic pink, so we don't, need to negotiate things.
I think all three of us are not like the Barbie Barbie buyers,
We're definitely not very, but negotiation is needed in those cases.
You've entered that phase of that negotiation in the shop.
Compromise. Important thing to learn.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Today I've been talking to Esther, Courtney and Emily, three friends scattered across Europe from babychinokids.com, an international website with inspiring craft projects, favorite recipes, interesting cultural topics, kid-friendly ideas about the coolest new products and must-have accessories. Thanks for sharing today, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll be right back after this short break.
This is Brian Clark Howard, web editor with the Daily Green and co-author of several books on green living, and you're listening to Raising Playful Tots.
Welcome back to the show. I really enjoyed chatting to Courtney, Esther, and Emily of babycinokids.com. That's babycinokids.com. It's good to catch them all together in Amsterdam. They happened to be on a weekend away together without the kids and took time to chat to us about intentional international living. I know lots of you dream about just upping sticks and moving somewhere else, and then you start thinking about all the logistics of moving house, new job, where to put all the stuff, etc. So many people just do this, though, and are probably in your community. We just have to seek them out. I was listening to the Simple Moms podcast, and she was talking to one of her good friends who went to live in Italy and did exactly just that. And I'll link to that in the show notes to learn about how she had fun just up in sticks and selling everything and going to live overseas for a little while. I also heard on Manic Mummies, their podcast, there's been quite a few people that have been on their show interviewed about how they left where they lived in America and went to live somewhere else for a few weeks, few months, and quite a few years. There's quite a lot of people that actually get around to doing it. You have to kind of be around them to learn how they do it, I guess, to be inspired to do it yourself. These ladies really made it sound easy to raise a playful tot in another country. Have you lived overseas for a time with your kids? Or are you doing it right now? I bet you have some really wonderful experiences to share. If you could, I would love you to leave a comment about that. Let's have that as the podcast question of the week. If you could live anywhere and raise your family in the world, let's say click by magic, so there won't be any of the other problems that come along with just up and sticks and moving. If you could, if you really could, just up sticks and go and live somewhere else with your family, where would that be? Where could that be? Come and chat about it on Facebook at Raising Playful Tots. I'd love to hear where you would like to go and raise your family. That'll be the podcast question of the week. Where would you live and raise your family if you could live anywhere? Well, it's a few days before Christmas, and I just wanted to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. If you celebrate with lots of fun times with your kids, I just recorded an audio boo about one way of limiting gifts for the kids. Maybe not in time for this year, but certainly something to consider for birthdays and Christmases and gift giving to come. I'll link to that in the show notes. The last show of the year, last year, I did a favourite show of the podcast from the year, and I'd love to do the same thing next week, and I'd love your input. Which show have you really enjoyed, or maybe it's inspired you to do something with your tot, something playful, something different with your tot? I have a survey going to collect your answers. Just drop in the show number. The link is in the show notes. It's always nice to hear the personal stories of which shows you liked and why. So that will be the show that will be the next time that we do after Christmas. It's the last show of the year I like to do, is that one. Well, thank you for listening to Raising Playful Tots all the way to here, especially during this busy time. I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. Thank you for being such loyal listeners and spreading the word about the show. It's really encouraging to see your comments and tweets and read your messages. Take care, and next time I'll be sharing the favourite bits of 2011. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 79. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Merry Christmas!